Good morning. Today's daf from Pesachim is Pei Hei. We're on Pei Dalam and Beis. We are towards the bottom of the Amud. We are going to begin with the word Zitmar. Gemara here in the seventh parak. We are approaching the end. We have a couple more days to go. Today's daf, tomorrow's daf. And Meir Hashem, we conclude the seventh parak of the Masechta. We're talking about in Yanim of Karm Pesach. And specifically, we've been focusing lately on the Isra Shir Satsim, the Pasuk in Parshas Bo says Etzem Losish Berubo. Not allowed to break the bone of a Karban Pesach. It is something that is unique to Karban Pesach, so it does not apply to any other carbon whatsoever. All other carbonos, you can break the bones in order to extract the marrow. But when it comes to the Karban Pesach, despite the fact that there is there's marrow inside and there's a mitzvah to eat the Karban Pesach, but you're not allowed to break the bone. For a moment later this morning, we're going to entertain the idea that maybe the mitzvah of eating Karban Pesach should override the Isser of Shviras Etzem, meaning, look, we have an imperative to eat the Karban Pesach, and the Isser of breaking bone is a lav, and we have a principle of Esei Docha Lo Saseh. So stay tuned, because later this morning we're going to hear that, and we're going to hear the Gemara's response, although it's not going to be totally clear what the Gemara's response is, but we're going to hear the Gemara's response. Anyway, so there's an Isser of Shviras Etzem. And so what we've been doing is creating a perimeter around that Isser, Shviras Etzem. We're looking at the nature of the Isser, the scope of the Isser. The Gemara doesn't tell us the time of the Isser. That's not the Gemara doesn't generally do that. But in terms of the scope of the Isser, so we spent a lot of time discussing that in yesterday's daf. The Mishnah yesterday's daf says that if you break the bone of a Karban Pesach, so it's a lav in the Torah, you're going to be subject to Malkus. The Braisa on Pei Dalam and Aleph towards the bottom of the Amud, yesterday's daf, so the Braisa brings down the sheet of the Tanakhama that the Isser of Shviras Etzem of a Karban Pesach is only when the carbon is kasher. And Rabbi Yehuda Anasi says that something very similar, that if you're able to eat the Karban Pesach, so then they're subject to an Isser of Shviras Etzem. But if you can't eat the Karban Pesach, then there's no Isser of Shviras Etzem. It sounds like Rabbi Yehuda Anasi is saying something very similar to that of the Tanakhama. The Gemara yesterday spent a lot of time, the entirety of the Amud Beis of yesterday's daf, dedicated to finding the fine difference that exists between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. The Gemara comes up with the Amoraim, come up with eight different possibilities in terms of what the Nafkamin is between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. With all that stated, we are now going to continue in the Gemara. We're going to introduce ourselves right now to a machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Very similar to one of the points that we made yesterday, Itmar. So let's get right into it. So let's say you have a bone of a Karban Pesach, and on the area where you want to break the bone, there's no basar. It happens to be that another area of the bone could be in this bone, could be somewhere else in the animal, but there is a kezayis basar. So what would be the halachic status of breaking that bone? Would that be in violation of the law of the Torah or no? Maybe the law of the Torah is only when you break bone, where in the bone that you break, there is a kezayis basar. So this is a machlokes amarayim. Rabbi Yochanan amar yesh bo mishum shviras ha'etzem. Rabbi Shimon Malakish omer ein bo mishum shviras ha'etzem. So here we have a machlokes amarayim. Rabbi Yochanan's position is that as long as there's kezayis basar somewhere on the animal, even though in the place that you want to break the bone, there's no kezayis basar, but as long as there's a kezayis basar somewhere in the animal, so you're going to be subject to a lav. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon Malakish says no. Reish Lakish says that in order to violate the lav, there must be a kezayis on the makom in which you're breaking. So Ezra, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon Malakish. So here we start now with a back and forth, and we're going to start with a challenge directly from Rabbi Yochanan to Reish Lakish. Based on the following, v'etzem lo sish berubo. The pasuk says that you're not allowed to break the bone of the Karban Pesach. Echad etzem sheish alav kezayis basar. Ve'echad etzem sheein alav kezayis basar. And the Braisa says it does not matter whether or not there is kezayis or there is no kezayis of basar. Now, my ain alav kezayis basar. Now that needs clarification. What in the world does that Braisa mean? That there's no kezayis basar. Ilem edain alav kezayis basar klal. Amai yesh bo mishum shviras ha'etzem. The Gemara just simply says it is untenable to suggest that we're talking about a bone that lacks no basar to it whatsoever. Meaning everyone starts off with the assumption, with the position, that there must be at least some basar. If not in the makom that I break, but somewhere around. So alalav hachi kamer. So you have to say now, psha and the brisa will sound like this. Echad etzem sheyesh alav kezayis basar bimakom zeh. So the only pshat that we can now entertain in the Braisa is whether there's a kezayis basar on the place that I'm going to break, or there's a kezayis basar somewhere else. Okay, that seems to be the only way to read the Braisa, And if that's the way to read the Braisa, so obviously now we have a very strong proof for Rav Yochanan, and this is going to be a challenge to Reish Lakish. Amar Lei Lo. So Reish Lakish in his defense would say no, as we are now on the top of Pei Hamad Aleph. So Hachi Kamar. No, I'll tell you how to read the Braisa. The Braisa reads like this. Echad etzim sheyesh lav kezayis basar mi bachutz, ve'echad etzim sheyesh lav kezayis basar mi bachutz, ve'esh lav kezayis basar mi bifnim b'makum shvira. So the pshat in the braisa will be like this, that we have a kezayis basar, and it doesn't matter whether the kezayis basar is on top of the bone or underneath the bone, otherwise known as marrow. Meaning, as long as you have a kezayis basar bimakum shvira, in the place that you break it, regardless of whether it is over the bone or under the bone, then you're going to be subject to the lav of etzem lo sish berubo. That happens to be a beautiful pshat in the braisa. And not only is it a beautiful pshat in the braisa, not only does it defend Reish Lakish, but the Gemara now points out, we have a braisa that corroborates vehatanya. This vehatanya, most of the time when the Gemara says vehatanya, it's a challenge. But over here, vehatanya comes to be a siyua. It's a support. And the braisa says, etzem lo sish berubo, echad etzem sheyesh ba moach, ve'echad etzem sheyein ba moach. So the braisa starts off by saying that the isser of breaking the bone of the Karban Pesach would be true whether there's marrow, whether there's no marrow. Umani mekayim v'achlus abasar b'layla hazeh. Now, as far as the mitzvah and the Torah is concerned of eating Karban Pesach b'basar, shal gabia etzem. That's talking about the meat that's on the bone, but not the meat that lies below the bone, otherwise known as marrow. Oeinu ala b'basar shebetocha etzem. Maybe not. For a moment, the Braisa is now going to entertain that maybe the mitzvah of the Torah of eating Karban Pesach even applies to the marrow as well. To get to the marrow, you're going to have to break the bone. And maybe the issue in the Torah of etzem lo sish berubo is only talking about bones that don't have moach. Shover va'ochel. And as far as the bones that have marrow inside of it, break it, eat the marrow inside. The altitma, and now you're surprised, right? You're wondering, how can you do that? The Torah says not to break bones. Sherei yavo esei v'yitchelos asei. Because consider, eating the Karban Pesach is a mitzvah esei. Breaking the bone is a lav. And we have the principle of esei dochelos asei, that the positive commandment is going to be overriding the negative prohibition. A rule that we say throughout Shas, discussed in the greatest detail in the beginning of Masechet Yevamos. But anyway, we have Esei Dochelos Asei. And Kishu Amar Ve'etzem Lo Yishbur Bo, but Pesach Sheni, but the Gemara says, but I know that that's not correct. Why? Because you go to Parshas Baloscha, and you see the Torah outlining Pesach Sheni, and you see over there that the Torah reiterates Esem Lo Yishbur Bo. Now that phrase over there in Parshas Baloscha by Pesach Sheni is unnecessary. Because we know the Torah over there already states, it says that as far as Karban Pesach is concerned, all the rules that are true by Karban Pesach, by Pesach Rishon, are going to be true by Pesach Sheni as well. By virtue of the fact that the Torah now is repeating Etzem Lo Sish Berubo by the Pesach Sheni, so it's there to tell me that unequivocally, one is not allowed to break bone, regardless of whether there is or there isn't marrow. Even if there is marrow over there, and even if you wanted to construct an argument of esei dochelos asei, but by virtue of the fact that the Torah repeats itself, tells us that in this situation, in this scenario, we do not say esei dochelos asei, and rather what we say is, unequivocally, one is not allowed to break the bone, even in order to arrive at the marrow that's inside the bone. Good. So this now, Braisa, is going to be a wonderful support of the pshat that Reish Lakish offered in the previous Braisa. And now we have put together, the Gemara's put together, a wonderful defense of Reish Lakish. Good. So where do we stand right now? A machlokas. Just quickly to comment, it's a large discussion, but it merits at least right now just a comment in a Daf Yomi format. And that is that the Gemara for a moment entertained the idea of esei dochelos asei as it relates to the eating of the Karban Pesach, which should therefore allow me to break the bone, even though that's a lav in the Torah, based on the principle of esei dochelos asei. So Tosas, second Tosas on the Amud says, and that's a little bit strange, because when we say esei dochelos asei, so when it's coming be'idna, okay, it's rule number one by esei dochelos asei, that at the time that I am fulfilling the mitzvah esei, I am at the same time, at the same moment, overriding the lo sase and the Torah. They're coming at the same time. Now, when I'm breaking the bone in order to get the marrow inside so that I can eat it, obviously it's not coming at the same time. First, I break the bone, that's the lav, and then as I get the marrow out of there, I'm going to eat the marrow. That's going to be the esei. They're not coming at the same time. In fact, generally speaking, what do we say when the esei and the lo sase are not coming at the same time? There we say, generally, mitzvah ba'aveira. So it's a little bit strange that the Gemara over here, a little bit strange, Tosfos raises this point. It's a little bit strange that the Gemara over here assumes that this would be a, this would fall under the category of Esei Docha Los Asei. Just to show you, Tosfos asked the question over here, Tosfos Dibra Maschel, Kishu Omer Vikasha. It's, I'm skipping about four lines in the Tosfos. Vikasha, Heche Yalof Mina, V'amai Namitzarech Kra. What kind of Yafus are we having over here? What do I need the extra Pasuk? Ha Be'idna Dime'akar Lav Lomekai Masei. At the time when I am violating the Lav, at that moment in time, I'm not fulfilling the Mitzvah Sesei. Good. So it's a strong question. My Tosfos obviously demands an answer. You go on in Tosfos, by the way, you will see that Tosfos does not give a direct answer to this question. It is, in fact, a difficult question. So we're going to continue the Gemara Meisvei. So now the Gemara challenges, and again, let's reset ourselves. We are in the Machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. I'm breaking bone. In the area where I'm breaking, there is no Kezayis Basar, but there is Kezayis Basar elsewhere in the Karban Pesach. Is this going to be a violation of Etzem Losish Berubo? Again, the principal positions are Rav Yochanan says, yes, you're violating the Isser, and Reish Lakish says, no, and Meisvei. The Gemara now challenges once again. Avish Yatsa Miksaso. You have a limb that partially exits Yerushalayim. That limb, the part that exited Yerushalayim now, is going to be disqualified. That's the psul of Yotzei. As far as the Karban Pesach is concerned, the boundary of the Karban is the walls of Yerushalayim, and so therefore, if part of the limb were to exit that wall, so now the part that exited is going to be psul Yotzei. So what do you do? So we're going to see the Mishnah. We're going to be calling the Mishnah twice on the Amud Aleph, but the Mishnah itself is coming up on the Amud Beis. So what do you do? So Avish Yatsa Miksaso Chotechad Malkum Shemagila Etzem Vikolef Ad Shemagila Perik Vichotech. So here's what you want to do. You want to cut off the meat that went outside because that's disqualified. You don't want to just simply take a cleaver and chop your way through because that would be breaking a bone. So what are you going to do is that you're going to cut until you get to the bone. You're going to peel off the muscle that is, that obviously is connected to the bone. Until you get to a joint. When you get to a joint, now you get to cut, because separating two bones from one another at the point of the joint is not going to be an issue whatsoever. Good. That is the mission that we're going to see on the Amud Beis of today's daf. Now, so let's assume Reish Lakish is right. That breaking bone where there is no meat is not going to be a violation. So lamely the kol afashim megila perich. So why do I have to strip the muscle off the bone all the way up to the joint? V'chotech, and then only then cut at the joint. Niklof beporta v'nitperei. The Gemara says, according to Reish Lakish, don't we have a much easier solution? And that would be just simply remove the muscle from the area that you want to cut the bone, and then just simply cut the bone. Meaning, according to Reish Lakish, isn't it going to be a fine? Isn't it acceptable to cut the bone where there is no meat? And so just simply remove the meat from that one particular area and cut it. So the Gemara says that seems to be a really simple solution according to Reish Lakish. Why didn't the Mishnah give that solution? That's a challenge. Abai Amar, the Gemara is going to give two responses to this challenge. Number one, Abai Amar Mishum Paka. So Abai says, well, when you break bone, it's messy. Meaning it doesn't break as smoothly and as evenly as you want. And even though you're going to try to break it in one particular location, but it cracks throughout the bone. And so therefore, it's really hard to control exactly where the cracks are going to occur as you're breaking the bone. And as much as you peeled away enough space, enough muscle to feel like, okay, I'm going to break the bone right over here, but it very well may just break unevenly, and you may end up breaking part of the bone that's under the muscle. Okay, that's one concern. Ravina Amar Bekulis. And a second possibility, says the Gemara, is that we're talking about bone that has marrow tucked away underneath. And of course, as we learned according to Reish Lakish, if there's marrow underneath, that also is considered buster. That's also considered a Kezayis buster, in which you're not allowed to break the bone. And that would be another simple reason why the Mishnah upcoming does not describe just simply removing the muscle away, because there's still marrow that's lying underneath, and that would invoke the Isser of Etzem Losish Berubo. Tanan Hasam. Okay. Adkan, that takes us now to the end of the Machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. The Gemara leaves the Machlokas unresolved. There is no a clear victor of the Machlokas. Generally speaking, Machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, we do paskin like Rav Yochanan. But meanwhile, as it is, so we are going to continue now in the Gemara, and we're going to pick up on a slightly different topic, although we're still going to be using the same sources, the Mishnah, the Braisa, but we're moving to a slightly different topic, Tanan Hasa. So in order to introduce this topic, so we're going to be learning a Mishnah that actually comes up later in the Masechta, Hapigol v'Anosar Metamim Masei Yadayim, that when it comes to the disqualifications of Pigol and Nosar, so if a Kohen were to handle a Karban that was disqualified through either Pigol or Nosar, so his hands are going to be Tamei. This is a Tumat de Rabbanan that was imposed on the Pigol and on the Nosar, by the Chazal, by Beis Din, and why did they do that? So as we're going to see in just a moment, the Gemara is going to give us the explanations in terms of why Chachmei Yisrael placed a Tumah deRabbanan on Pigel and Osar. Just quickly to go over, I know we know this already, when it comes to Pigel, the disqualification of Pigel is when the Kohen shechs the Karban, in doing either the Avodah of Shechita, or any one of the four Avodahs articulates and says that he plans on consuming the Karban Chutzos Mano, that's Pigel, or Chutzim Komo is another variant of Pigel, so the plans on eating it outside of its prescribed location. No, sir, of course, as we've gone over now numerous times in this Masechta, is when a Karban is left overnight, well, by the Karban Pesach, it's overnight, by Shlamim, it's beyond it, whatever its prescribed time is, it's left beyond, it's a lot of time. So that's the psul of Nosar. Both for Pigel and Nosar, if you were to eat either the meat of Pigel or Nosar, so he's subject to Karis, these are seriously surim. The creation of Pigel, the creation of Nosar is not Nisar Karis. The consumption of Pigel and Nosar is in fact going to be an Nisar Karis. Anyway, the Chachamim placed a tuma on the Pigel and Nosar. Now, the Gemara is going to explain. The Rav Huna of Rav Chisda Charama Mimnei Chashdei Kuhuna Charama Mimnei Atzilei Kuhuna. Now there were two motivations of placing a tuma on both Pigel and Osar. One has to do with Kohen's being suspected. The other being Kohen's being lazy. Mar Masni a Pigel, Mar Masni a Osar. Now one is going to go on Pigel and the other is going to go on Osar, as Rashi over here explains. When it comes to Pigel, so what we are worried about are Kohanim who are suspected. Rashi writes Shechashudim Lefagel Karban Mishum Eva. Okay, so it happens to be that they have animosity towards the owner of the carbon, and they want to ruin the carbon. So what they're going to do is they're going to be mefagel the carbon. So Gazola Pigel, she tamei se adam, Rashi writes that the Chachamim now placed a tuma on the pigel. So kedeshi zetzarach lahadbil yadav kodim shiyaga bekarsh v'yashrichuhu. It's going to force the Kohen to go through an extra step of now that they're tamei, albeit tuma the rabban. Now that they're tamei, so then they're going to have to. They have to do Netilas Yadayim, they're going to have to wash their hands in it. It's an extra step in order to become Tahor. The obvious question, which hopefully you're wondering right now, is that really this is going to be something that is going to put an impediment in front of the Kohen? Meaning this Kohen's ready to make Pigel, and just because the Chachamim slapped the Tumah deRabbanan, so that's gonna make the Kohen think twice before affecting this carbon to be Pigel? That's a little bit strange, but Tosus points out over here that as far as people's attitude towards Tumah is concerned, so Tumah was taboo, right? Tosus writes, Vim Tamar, third Tosus on the Amud. Vim Tamar, Kamo Kain, Lo Yachushul Asos, but Tumah, Yesh Lamar, Da'afle Rishayim, Chamiri Lehu Tumah. So you don't have to be the most observant of the Kohanim, and meanwhile, Tumah is something that everybody wanted to distance themselves from. We're going to see together a story in the Gemara in Yuma, Chav Gemma. I'm not going to go through it right now, but it's going to be a clear demonstration of how the Kohanim were much more worried about Tumah than other Yisurim, even other serious Yisurim, right? Stay tuned. We're going to see the Gemara in the not so distant future, God willing, where Shichas Damim, was basically put aside. Well, not put aside, but we'll see the story that even as it related to murder, Tumah was viewed as something more serious than actually murder. So when the Chachamim knew, that they brand Tumah on the Pigel, and the Kohanim are going to in fact think twice before being mefagel a karban. Now we get to the next one, which is Nosar. Now Nosar is obviously neglect. In other words, you left the carbon and you didn't finish the carbon before it's a lot of time. So because of the Kohanim that could possibly become lazy, so therefore what the Chachamim did is they put a Tumah deRabbanan on the Nosar so that the Chachamim would not be lazy. And I know we have to balance this Gemara with what we normally say. We normally say that Kohanim is Rizim. We usually describe Kohen as being the opposite of lazy. So there has to be some sort of balance between, on one hand, the Kohanim is Rizim. On the other hand, the Gemara over here describes them as being Atzilim. They're lazy. Okay, you have to balance the two. So anyway, but Mar Masti Kazars, Mar Masti Kabetza. How much Pigel, how much Nosar do you need in order for there to be Tumah? So there is a debate regarding these Amarayim, regarding how much of the carbon do you actually need. So Mandamasti Kazais Kisura, Mandamasti Kabetza Ketumaso. And now it's basically going to straddle the following. If you say that the shear is going to be a Kazais, that's because we're talking about an Isser over here. And since fundamentally it's an Isser, and it's an Isser Achila, so what do we know regarding Isser Achila? The shear is a Kazais. So therefore, when the Chachamim place the Tumah on it, they pattern themselves after the Isser. On the other hand, this is Tumah. And generally speaking, when we're talking about Tumah and food, the shear is a kabetza. So that is exactly at the root of the machlokis between whether or not the shear that the Chachamim placed the tumah on these items is either going to be a kezayis or a kebetza. So we spoke now about the chachamim branding, placing a tumah derabanan on the psul of pigel, on the psul of nosar. There's one other psul that usually comes along for the ride, and the Gemara now wants to know. The Mishnah only mentioned pigel and nosar. What are we going to say about the psul regarding yotzei? If a carbon was taken outside of the area of the Beis HaMikdash, or the meat of a carbon shalom is taken outside of Yerushalayim, is there going to be tumah on that portion of the meat? So that's the Gemara's question. In the Mishnah that we quoted, it only mentioned pigel, only mentioned nosar. It didn't mention yotzei. Now, it could very well be, by the way, that if you want to make just a simple diuk, by virtue of the fact that it didn't mention yotzei, that would seem to tell us that the tumah is not placed on yotzei. But the Gemara is going to argue right now that you can really argue this in either direction. Ibailu yotzei gazru rabbanan tumah, oh lo. Did the chachamim make a gzera on yotzei, or did they not? Mi amrina nosar de gazru tumah, de asi li atzule bei, aval yotzei afuki biadayim lo mafkile, biadayim lo gazru bei rabbanan tumah. Odim lo shna. The argument basically is like this. When it comes to nosar, so that's sheer neglect. That's just simply the kohanim ignoring it, and we're worried about the kohanim being lazy. But in order to arrive at yotzei, the psul of yotzei, you have to actively walk a carbon outside of its perimeter. So maybe we're not worried about that. On the other hand, maybe loshna, maybe it's just simply not different. And maybe as much as the chachamim worried about the kohanim producing nosar, maybe the chachamim were also worried about the kohanim producing yotzei. So tashma. So the Gemara says, okay. So I think what we could do is we can mount an argument. We're going to quote a Mishnah. So once again, second time today, we're quoting the Mishnah in Pesachim. We're going to see the Mishnah in today's daf. The Mishnah talks about where part of the limb has exited Yerushalayim. So what am I now supposed to do? I'm supposed to remove the meat that was exited, but I don't want to break the bone. So again, we know what's going to happen. So what you're going to do is you're going to peel away the meat up to the area where, up to the border on the bone where the limb has exited, remove that. And as far as cutting off the remaining part of the animal, you only cut the joint, but you don't cut at the bone. Now, V'i Amar Gazru Bei Rabbanan Tumah. So the Gemara says, now let's consider. If in fact the Chachamim slapped Tumah on this Psul Yotzei, so ki chatech le mai havi, even if I cut it, so ha kemetamile, so isn't there tumah, meaning isn't there a tumah on that piece, and isn't that tumah now going to be making contact with the other part of the carbon, and now basically isn't the whole thing going to become tameh? So the Gemara says, tumah sasarim hi, utumah sasarim lamatami. So the Gemara says, yes, that's true. But consider the fact that where exactly is going to be the point of contact? The point of contact is going to be in the area where I cut. The area in which I cut is now currently not exposed. And when we talk about contact between non-exposed area, that's what's called tumas sisarim. And that does not create a transmission of tumah. The Gemara says, that's fine, but ula revina da'amar chibur ochlan lav chiburhu, kamandim afarte dame ma'ikla me'mar. Yeah, but it happens to be that the position of Ravina, which the Gemara in Chulin, right? Second time in the second day in a row, we quoted the Gemara in Chulin over here, that talks about tumas ochlin. So Ravina's position is that when it comes to food, there's no such thing as a concealed surface area, because food is always viewed as if we're going to be separating it, taking it apart. And Ravina, the way he views food, is that every contact area is considered not a concealed contact area, but rather an exposed contact area. So according to Ravina, isn't the tumah now just simply going to move from one part of the carbon to another? So hakanama bahadade v'kamatme, and that's exactly the Gemara's question. Tumah now should be transmitted. El laman demasti kezayis, the lace bay kezayis. So the Gemara says, okay, so, but what we could say as follows is, how much meat are we talking about? So the Gemara says, well, we could be talking about where it's pachos kashir, just simply less than the requisite amount. Well, what's the amount? We just saw a debate. So the Gemara says, whichever way you position yourself on the debate, it's just less than a shear. So man demasti kezayis delays be kezayis, and man demasti kebetza delays be kebetza. If you hold the shears of kezayis, it's less than a kezayis. If you hold the shears of kebetza, it's less than a kebetza. Okay, so the Gemara sidestepped the Mishnah on today's daf in terms of arriving at a conclusion. Did the Chachamim place a tumah derabanan on yotzei? So the Gemara is now going to pursue this discussion. Hamotzei baser pesach mechabur lechabur afa pishuhu below sasei tahor. If you were to move your karban pesach from one chabura to another. Okay, this is, I think, the first time that we mentioned chabura in this mesechta. The idea is, well, registration we've spoken about many times. Once you register over a Karban Pesach, so now that's it. You're going to eat from this Karban Pesach to the exclusion of any other Karban Pesach. Once you're sitting down together to eat this Karban Pesach, you are now considered a chabura. As we will learn in today's daf, there is an isser in the Torah to pick up a piece of this Karban Pesach and move it outside of the house and move it to another chabura. That would be an isser of the Torah. Again, this isser we're gonna source a little bit later on this morning. But anyway, now what you did is you violated a law in the Torah, meaning we're going to establish later that it's a law to move Karban Pesach from one chabur to another, but nevertheless tahor. So, but as far as the Karban Pesach is concerned, the Karban Pesach remains tahor. Now, my love tahor va'aser. Now, when we say tahor, what are we saying? We're saying tahor, but we're also saying that it's aser. The yotze mechabur lechabur, ki yotze chutz mechitzas odami. Umafso. Right now, what the Gemara is understanding, it's envisioning that when you removed your Karban Pesach from this Chabura, that is tantamount to actually exiting the Karban from Yerushalayim as well. Meaning, as far as the Chabura is concerned, the Chabura creates now a new perimeter around the Karban Pesach. And taking it out of this Chabura, it's like you are Yotzei Mimichitza, so it's like you're taking it outside of its prescribed area. And therefore, it's subject to the Psul of Yotzei. And that's why it's going to be disqualified, and that's why it's going to be aser. But the Braisa also says it's going to be tahor as well. And if our analysis is correct, we have just proven that any carbon that's underwent the psul of yotze is still going to be tahor. That's what it seems to be. Ama lo gazer bei rabban and tuma. So it seems to be pretty clear that the chachamim were not gozer tuma on this. Lo, the Gemara says no. Let's deflect tahor umoter yotze mechabur lechabur lav ki yotze chutz mechitzas odami v'lo mifsal. So the Gemara says okay, but just change the assumption. Meaning you're wrong about the way to view it. Even though you're not allowed to take it from one chabur to another, and even though it's a lav, this is not tantamount to taking it outside the walls of Yerushalayim. It's a separate type of lav. And so therefore, you cannot compare this to yotze. And the fact that it's tahor, fine, it's tahor, but doesn't speak to our question. Our question is when one violates the basic isser of yotze with a carbon, taking it outside of Yerushalayim, is that going to be subject to tumah? So we have not resolved that question. The ha tani seifa. The Gemara says, "Okay, ha ochlo hareze below saseh." Do you know at the end of the brisa it says that this Karban Pesach that was moved from one chabur to another? What if you eat it? So you're in violation of a law. Bishlam laman damer kebetsa disbe kezayis v'leisbe kebetsa. So the Gemara says, now if you subscribe to the position that for tumah to take effect. So you need the shear of a kebetza. So here what we could say is that you have a kezayis, but you don't have a kebetza. So now I understand. But el aman damer kezayis, Michael Amemar. But if the shear is a kezayis, so now what are you going to say? Meaning that the b'raisa ends off by saying that you're in violation of a lo saseh. So ela biyotze bepesach lomi bailan. De lo gazer rabban and tumah. So my taima. So the Gemara says, fine. So the Gemara says, look, moving it from one chabur to another is in fact a violation of the psul of yotze. And I will say like this. What the Gemara now is ready to argue is that it's not going to answer our question. Our question is the Chachamim slap a tuma on the generic yotze, meaning the yotze where you take it outside the walls of Yerushalayim. I can make the argument that our analysis over here is correct. Removing it from one chabur to another is tantamount to taking it out of Yerushalayim. But here's what I'm prepared to argue, says the Gemara, that the Chachamim were not gozer in this scenario. Why not? My taima, b'nei chabur zruzinenu mezer zihiri bay. Because we have a general idea that when you're eating in a group together, so we are able to caution one another. Meaning it's similar to Kohanim zrizim, it's not the same, but it's similar to that idea that generally the tone that's set in the Beis HaMikdash regarding the Kohanim is that when doing the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, they are moving and they're going to do their duties. So the same thing is true when you have a chabur, when you have a group of people sitting down to eat Karban Pesach. So the context of the situation creates a higher sense of purpose, a higher sense of awareness. We know that we're here to eat the Karban Pesach. We know that we're not supposed to take the Karban Pesach from one group to another group. And we're going to warn other people not to do so. The Chachamim felt that that was not an area where we need to put a gzera derabanan. Where do we need to put a gzera derabanan in general, but not in this situation? The Gemara says our question is regarding the generic psul of yotze, and the Gemara says on that teku we're going to leave that question unresolved. So, second half of the Amud Aleph of today's daf, Tumas Yadayim is placed on Pigel. The Chachamim placed the Tumas Yadayim on Nosar. We learned because of, for Pigel, Chashde Kahuna. For Nosar, it's Atzile Kahuna. But as far as the Psal of Yotze is concerned, did the Chachamim slap that with Tumas as well? The Gemara leaves the question unresolved. Umotze Basar Pesach, Mechabur Lechabur Minayin. Okay? So now as we turn to the Amud Beis, the Gemara now wants to know, where's the source of this halacha? Taking Karm Pesach from your chabura to another chabura, and you're violating a law in the Torah, where does that come from? The Tanya, the Torah says as follows, Lo sotzi min habayis min habasar chutza. So again, going back to Parshas Bo, so the Torah says that one is not allowed to take the Karm Pesach from the house outside of the house. Good. A simple reading of the Pasuk would indicate that you're not allowed to take it from inside the house to outside the house. But we're going a step further. We're saying that even taking it from one chabur to another, meaning, right, if you ever seen the hotel scene, so you know that you have one family sitting at one table, you have another family sitting at another table. So Mimher B'Yaminu, when we have the Beis HaMikdash, and we have Yerushalayim, and we have Karban Pesach, so it's a similar scene. Meaning we're going to be eating, even if we're eating in the same house together, but we're eating our Karban Pesach, they're eating their Karban Pesach, and how do I know that if somebody were to pick up a piece of this Karban Pesach and move it to another chabura, so that too is going to be a violation, tamalamar, chutza achilaso, and it's generated from the extra word chutza. Meaning the Torah could have just simply said, lo sosi menabayis menabasar. Don't take it out of the house. The word chutzah is superfluous. So what the Gemara's understanding is that the word chutzah is telling us that there's another chutz. There's another way of exiting, and that is just simply exiting our chabura. That too would be a violation of the iser of lo sotzi, that you're not allowed to take it out. Amar Rabbi Ami, amotzi basa pesach min chabur lechabur, enu chayv ad shianiach. And now the Gemara does a really interesting crossover. And that is that we're going to borrow the halachas by Hilchos Shabbos regarding Hotza'ah, and we're going to now take them and utilize them for this Isser of taking out the Karban Pesach, because look at the Lashon HaTorah. The Torah says Lo Sotzi. So over here, when it comes now to the Isser of removing, so now we're going to take the rules regarding Hotza'ah on Shabbos, specifically the rules of Akira Vahanacha, and we're going to put it in force over here. Meaning that one does not violate the Isser of Hotzah, of Karban Pesach from one Chabur to another, until you do an Akira and a Hanacha. So Hotzah Ksiv Beikah Shabbos. The Gemara makes exactly that point, because the Torah uses the word Hotzah just like we see it by Shabbos. So Ma Shabbos Ad David Akira V'Hanacha V'Hachanami Av David Akira V'Hanacha. So by Shabbos you have Akira V'Hanacha here too. You have to have an Akira, you have to have a Hanacha. Okay, and right, You can go much further than where the Gemara went in terms of wondering whether or not all the rules of Akira Hanacha that apply by Hotzah and Shabbos is apply over here. Do you need Makam Dalet Ad Dalet? And the Gemara only talks about the halachas of Akira Hanacha, but there are many other rules as well. We saw in the beginning Masechta Shabbos, Meisiv Rabbi Abar Marmamo, how you solve the sub motos of Rishonim Yatsu Chutz Chomas Azara VaAchronim Lo Yatsu HaRishonim Mitamim Begadim VaAchronim Ein Mitamim Begadim. So the Gemara over here is bothered because we have a Mishnah. This Mishnah is in Zvachim. It's talking about the removal of the chatos apnimios that have to be taken outside of the azara. Actually, they're going to be taken out of all gimel machanos in order to be burned outside of the area, not just of the base of Mikdash, but outside of Yerushalayim. And the moment you leave the azara, you become tummy when you carry it. Rashi over here goes through all the drashas. Not going to go through the Rashi. I underline the Rashi over here, but not going to go through the Rashi right now. But anyway, the idea is that the moment that you exit the walls of the azara, already you are tummy, despite the fact that you're going to have more to go. You're going to have more to walk. Anyway, so you're carrying it b'motos. You hung the chatzas apnimius, which you did all the avodas. You did the shchita, the zrikas adam. Remember, the zrikas adam of our chatzas apnimius are going to be sprinkled in the Beis HaMikdash on the Mizbeach HaZahav. Anyway, so what am I doing now with the remaining part of the carbon? It's going to be taken outside to be burnt. So the Kohanim are, you have Kohanim in the front of the pole, you have Kohanim in the back of the pole. So, HaRishonim, the moment the Kohanim in the front of the pole exit the Chomas Azara, the walls of the Azara, so they're going to be Tamei, even though the people in the back are still inside of the Azara. And Va'achronim Eimetamim Begadim. And the people that, at this point, meaning if we were to freeze frame the moment where the people in the front are outside the walls of the Azara and the people in the back are still interior to the Azara, the people outside are Tamei, the people inside are not Tamei. Now, this is also a form of Hotza'ah. And the Gemara is assuming right now that what we just learned regarding the Karban Pesach, moving it from one Chabur to another, is going to be the same halacha as it relates over here with the Hotza'ah of the Chatzos HaPnimius. Okay, the Gemara not for a moment thinks that maybe this halacha is specific to Karban Pesach. Okay, you could have made that argument. The Gemara did not. So v'halo nach. So the Gemara says now there was no hanach over here. So in other words, if you're going to be saying that the rules of otzah for a carbon are going to follow after Shabbos, you need a kira, you need a hanacha. If they're en route to walking out, so you have not yet experienced a hanacha. So how can there be tumah? So who most of lavu mefarik la binigrar. So the Gemara says, okay, but we can give an okimta over there. We talk about a case where it's being dragged on the floor. Once it's being dragged on the floor, so dragging on the floor by definition is hanacha. All right, hanacha is just simply it's on the floor. Okay, okay. So that's an okimta, and so therefore you can easily defend from that position. Good. So far today, we have covered the sugya of breaking the bone of a carbon pesach, where on the area of the bone that you're going to break, there is no meat, but there's meat elsewhere on the carbon. Is that going to be subject to the isser of etzam lo sish berubo, machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish? Second part of today's daf, tumas yadayim. We know that the chachamim placed a tumah derabanan on pigel, on noser. What about yotzei? That question is left unresolved. And then, as long as we talked about yotzei, we talked about the special isser that applies to Karban Pesach, that you're not allowed to remove the Karban Pesach, not only from the house, which is indicated in the Pasuk, but not even moving it from one chabur to another. That also would be a violation of hotzah. Next Mishnah. We're in the Mishnah Pehei Amud Beis. So this Mishnah we already heard twice this morning. So in the daf itself, we get excellent chazara, but this obviously is the prime source of this Mishnah. So when it comes to Karban Pesach, where part of the limb is taken outside the walls of Yerushalayim, that part that's taken out now is disqualified through the psul of Yotzei. And now what I want to do is I want to remove that part, but at the same time, however, I'm not allowed to break a bone, so what do I do? So I just simply peel off the meat that is connected to that bone until you get to the joint. When you get to the joint, now you can cut. But you can't cut that bone, because cutting the bone would be a violation of etzem lo sish berubo. Good. Uva mekdashim kotzeitz bekofitz shein bo mishum shvirus etzem. But when it comes to standard carbon, where part of the limb of the carbon is taken outside of its michitza, so outside of its walls, so there you can take a cleaver and just simply cut off the area that went outside. Because when it comes to any other carbon, there's no iser of shviras etzem. Mina agaf vilifnim kilifnim, mina agaf v'lachutz kilachutz. Okay, and classic Gemara, classic Mishnah, and that is where exactly is the border between interior and exterior. So the Mishnah here does a wonderful job confusing us, because the Mishnah says that from the agaf, that is basically the area interior to the doorway, right? Probably the doorstop area, but from the area interior to the doorway. So hagaf v'lifnim kilifnim. So that is going to be like considered like the interior area. Min hagaf l'chutz k'lachutz. But then the area of the agaf outbound is considered outward. So what is the area of the agaf? Is it considered like the interior area? Is it considered like the exterior area? So obviously the Mishnah is giving us literally mixed messages, right? Opposite directions. Stay tuned. The Gemara is going to ask that question. Now, when it comes to any kind of window area, meaning the area that is interior to the window, and any of the thickness of the wall is kilifnim, that's going to be considered like an interior area. So therefore, if I were to take an item, not outside, but into the airspace within the sill of the ledge of the window, so that's like kilifnim. Same thing with the thickness of the wall, if there's any holes in that wall. It's like the interior area. So as Rashi explains the Gemara over here, if you are now, let's say, in a doorway, and now you want to, now the way Rashi understands it is that you want to participate in the minyan. Not only participate in the minyan, you want to help make the minyan. Rashi's understanding over here, first Rashi and the Gemara. Haomei min agaf lifnim mitzdareif la'asara, v'almid chutz la'pesach, v'almid chutz la'pesach in mitzdareif. So if you are anywhere within the doorway, you could be counted towards a minyan. That is Rashi's understanding of the Gemara over here. And Tosfos has a lot of difficulty with Rashi's pshat. There's a Gemara in Erevin that we learned not so long ago that would seem to indicate that you cannot be mitzaref for a minyan if you're not in the same room with others. So Rashi, Tosfos, there's much to discuss over here. We're going to go on in the Gemara. We barely scratched the surface. And Rav Yeshua ben Levi says that even an iron wall cannot separate the Jewish people from the Father up in heaven. And seemingly, what his position is that that there's not going to be a hafsek. And so, even if you have somebody standing on the other side of the wall, you can you can, according to Rashi, let's say like Rashi right now, you can make a minyan even that situation. Again, Tosos strongly objects to Rashi's pshat, but right now it's just to scratch the surface. So we said over Rashi that is the that is the Gemara's discussion over here is regarding the making of the minyan and how localized does everyone have to be in order to make a minyan. That's Rashi's understanding. Okay. In the meantime, however, that was a short digression of the Gemara. Hagufa Kasha. And now the Gemara gets to what is the obvious problem of the Mishnah in terms of understanding doorways. So Amart min agaf lifnim kalifnim ha agaf atzmo kalachutz. So if you are anywhere interior of the doorway, so that is considered like your inside, which means that the doorway area is considered outside. But then in Masefa min agaf lachutz kalachutz ha agaf atzmo kalifnim. Now the second part of the Mishnah tells us that if you're anywhere exterior of the doorway area, so that's like the exterior, making it sound like the actual doorway itself is kalifnim. So, the area of the doorway itself, under the lintel, what is that? Is that considered interior-exterior? So when you read the Mishnah, so we're all confused, we don't know. So, lo kasha kam bishari azara kam bishari Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says it depends, what kind of doorways are we talking about? Are we talking about the doorways of the Azara? Or are we talking about the doorways of Yerushalayim? Da'am Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yitzchak mimne malo nitzkashu shari Yerushalayim. Now, as far as the doorways of Yerushalayim are concerned, they are not imbued with the Kedusha of Yerushalayim. Why? It was done intentionally, it was done deliberately. Meaning, consider, if you're a Metzorah, so you were sent out of Gimel Machanos. So that means that the Metzorah is sent out of the Azara, out of the Har HaBayis, and outside of Yerushalayim. And he's now in an unprotected area outside Yerushalayim. Now it starts raining, and this Metzorah is going to be even more miserable. Socially distant and now wet. So the Chachamim realize that we need to create an area of shelter for our Metzora, even though he's outside of Gemal Machanos. Therefore, the Chachamim, when creating the Yerushalayim, the walls of Yerushalayim, so what they did is, the areas underneath the lentils of the doorways going into Yerushalayim, they left out of the Kedushas Yerushalayim by design, so that whenever now our Metzora needs a place of shelter, so he can go under the doorway and not violate the Isser of the Torah of being outside of Gemal Machanos. So that is the entrances of Yerushalayim. And that means that the default entrances, meaning all the entrances of the Azara, are going to be like Lifnim. They're going to be like the interior. With one notable exception, that's the eastern entrance to the Azara. The eastern entrance of the Azara, Sharni Kanor, when we did the Masechtos of Midos and Tamid, so we just spent some time talking about Sharni Kanor, the Nicanor Gate. So that area, under the lintel of that area, that has that does not have the Kedushas Azara. And that also was by design. And there too is for a very specific reason, and actually it's also for the Metzorah as well, but for a different aspect of the life of the Metzorah. And now we're looking at the end of his Tahara process, after having gone 7 days, and now having toveled in the mikvah on the seventh day, and now comes day number 8, and he's got 3 karbanos to bring, but because he hasn't brought the karbanos yet, so he's what's called in halacha a mechusar kippurim. He still is not fully tahor, and he can't go into the azara. On the other hand, and here I say that literally, on the other hand, he also needs the blood of the karban asham to be placed on his right earlobe, on his right thumb, on his right toe, and the blood cannot be taken out of the Azara. That is the blood of a Karban Asham. It cannot be taken out of the Azara. So here now we have a dilemma. How is our Mitzara going to be able to have his hands, feet, and right earlobe going into the Azara? And meanwhile, the blood cannot be taken out of the Azara. Our Mitzara can't go in yet because he's not fully Tahor. The blood cannot be taken out, because blood taken out of the Azara is going to become pasul. So basically what we have over here is the Mitzara going to the Eastern Gate. The area under the lintel of the Eastern Gate now is going to be devoid of the Kedusha of the Azara, allowing to go right under the lintel, and then putting his thumb in, putting his toe in. So that's what's called, Bia B'miksas. And Bia B'miksas is Lashmei Bia. That's not considered as if he entered into the Azara, and that would be fine. Good. So that's why the Sharni Kanor is devoid of any Kedusha for the Mitzorah for his procedure of day 8 of his Tahara process. This is going to be a good place to stop. Let's quickly recap. Let's review our daf today. Okay. Topics today are as follows. Number 1, breaking the bone of a Karban Pesach where on the area that you want to break there's no meat, but there's meat on other parts of the bone. Is that going to be a violation of Etzem Losish Berubo? Machlokes B'shim Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. And that takes us through the first part of today's daf. Second part, Tumas Yadayim. The Chachamim slapping a Tumas Yadayim on Pigle, on Nosar. Pigle for the Chashdei Kohunab. The Kohanim are suspected of creating Pigle in order to stick it to somebody they really don't like. Or Nosar, the Chachamim placing Tumah on Nosar because some Kohanim are lazy and neglecting the carbon, leaving it to become Nosar. Good. And as far as the amount of Pigle and the amount of Nosar in order for the Tumah to take effect, Machlok is whether it's a Kazayas or it's a Kebetza. The question, the open-ended question the Gemara asks is that the Chachamim slap a Tumah Derabanan on the Psul of Yotze as well. That question is left teku unresolved. On the Amud Beis of today's daf, we introduce ourselves to the Isra in the Torah of not taking Karban Pesach from our Chabura and not bringing it to another Chabura, even if we're in the same house. Taking it outside the house, that's an Isra in the Torah. Lo sosi menabayis menabasar chutzah. But taking it from one Chabura to another Chabura, that also is going to be a Isra daraisa. Gemara interestingly says that because the Torah frames this as an Isra of Hotza'ah, so consequently that means that we're going to borrow the rules of Shabbos, Hotzah Shabbos, that you need an Akir and Hanacha. And so to violate this Isra over here, you too are going to be needing an Akir and Hanacha. The Mishnah talks about where part of a limb of a Karban Pesach is taken out of Yerushalayim. So the part that is exterior now needs to be shaved off, it needs to be cut off. But at the same time, I can't cut the bone. So we have the procedure, which is that you cut up to the bone, you remove the meat that was exterior of the wall. And when you get to the joint, you're going to cut off that area. And that's how you are going to solve for the problem of removing, cutting off the meat, but not cutting the bone. When it comes to a stam, a regular carbon, no problem. Just take a cleaver and cut the area right there, because for any other carbon, there would be no iser of chatichas ever of cutting a limb, meaning cutting the bone. Now, as far as violating the iser of going chutz, so doorways, right? The interior area of a doorway. So what's its status? And the Mishnah is admittedly a little bit confusing, but the Gemara clarifies. When it comes to the doorways of Yerushalayim, so there we say that the Chachamim, by design, did not give the doorways of Yerushalayim, the entranceways of Yerushalayim, the status of Kedushas Yerushalayim, so that when the Metzora is, when he's Chus L'Machaneh, so he's going to have a place to shelter himself when it's raining or when it's really hot. And when it comes to all other entrances ways, so it's going to always have the status of its interior area, the area that it's circumscribing, with notable exceptions to Sharni Kanner, again for the Mitzvah as part of his Tahara process. Adkan, Yitzhak Hashem, tomorrow we start the two dots in the bottom of the Amud.